Vermont's oldest professional theater company has a new slogan, celebrating the classics, nurturing the new. The 2015 season is underway, and the producing artistic director, Steve Settler, is joining us this morning to talk about the current season with a spotlight on two upcoming shows, which certainly illustrate that mission. Steve, always good to see you.
Thank you, Joe. Great to be back.
Oh, wonderful to have you. Susan, is it Hafner?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, good. Susan Hafner is back with us. She is playing Juliana, the lead role in The Other Place by Shara White. This is a very touching play, very funny play, where a mystery unfolds as fact blurs with fiction, the past collides with the present, and the elusive truth about a successful neurologist boils to the surface. So you thought it was all kind of pattern there for a second, and then the neurologist part just blew it to
hell. Yeah, I love what you just did there. That was amazing.
And here is Matthew Wilkes. He is playing the role of Blackstache in Peter and the Starcatcher, winner of 5 2012 Tony Awards, the play, which basically is a prequel to Peter Pan. And thank you very much for being here as
thank
well.
You.
All right, so let's check in with Steve and find out how things are going in Weston.
Things are rocking.
Good.
Literally. We opened on the main stage this last week with Pump Boys and Dinettes, a show that we love and have done many times in the past. But Tim Fort, my producing partner who directed it, got this genius idea of bringing in Joe Iconis, whom the Berkshires area knows well from performances down at Barrington Stage. Joe's a composer-performer and has a family of artists that he works with in New York on his own work. And we thought, since Pump Boys was originally created by a group of artists for themselves and their multi-talents, what fun it would be to get Joe and his family to kind of rediscover that show and put a 21st century vibe into it. And it has just been remarkable. So it's selling hugely well. They're also performing in our After Hours Cabaret. Our kids' show has opened and is the biggest hit we've ever had for young audiences, the Junie B. Jones musical. So things are great.
That's great. And while all this greatness is happening, you have to, you know, keep doing stuff. Keep get ready for the next show.
Indeed. And Susan and Matt are representing the next two. And after them, we're going to have Guys and Dolls for 4 weeks in August with an incredible cast of Broadway veterans and Weston favorites. We're doing Glass Menagerie, which we're also taking up to the Flynn Theater in Burlington and to the Gulf Shore Playhouse in Naples, Florida in the fall. We've got Cass Morgan, who was one of the original writer-performers of Pump Boys and Dinettes, is doing her new show in which she performs and which she wrote, called The Road to Where, and that will follow Susan's show in our second space. So there's a lot ahead of us, and special single events and all the rest. So it's going to be a great summer.
All right, let's talk about The Other Place. This opens on July 23rd and runs through August 9th. It is by Shara White, as I mentioned. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about playing Juliana and how you came to this.
Well, I actually did this play once before in New Hampshire, where actually Steve came to see the performance. I did it at a theater called Shaker Bridge Theater. And I was hired to play Juliana, and David Bonanno is playing Ian. He plays my husband, and he's done a bunch of shows at Weston as well. And we did the show for 4 weeks, and Steve came and wanted to do it at Weston.
A cast of two?
There are actually two other characters, Tracy Michalaitis and Joe Osheroff. They're also Weston returning actors. Mm-hmm. But David and I are the only two that come from Shaker Bridge.
So, as I was reading before, tell us a little bit about what this story is about, because it all seems kind of template, and then...
Yes, and I won't
not.
Give too much away either, because okay. There's such a wonderful mystery that unfolds. But the play opens with Juliana Smithson. She is a neurologist turned pharmaceutical sales pitch woman, and she's giving a talk. And we find out, she tells the audience about how she's giving a talk for a bunch of doctors in the Virgin Islands. And we sort of quickly realize that something's off. She sees a girl in a yellow bikini out of the corner of her eye at this convention. And she starts telling the audience about this episode that she had. And we don't know what that episode is. And Shara White is an amazing playwright, because he takes us from that introduction into a scene with her husband, into another scene with her daughter and her daughter's husband, we think. We don't know.
Okay.
And very quickly, you start to find out that things aren't exactly as Juliana has been saying they were. And that's where all the mystery unfolds. And there's a lot of humor in there. And I don't want to give too much away. What do you think,
Steve? No, I think you've done very well.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's a remarkable play. I had missed it in New York where it had great success. Laurie Metcalf did it off and on Broadway.
Yep.
And I went actually primarily to see Susan and David, but also because I had not seen the play. And I was just so taken with it. And honestly, with their performances, they've worked with us for years, but they were both really remarkable in this. And I said, we've got to do this play. We've got to do it with you. And we've got to do it now.
I'm so grateful.
So we're really glad to give them another crack at it and to share it with our audiences. And that intimate space of our second stage, what we call our other stages, which has two more years before it will be replaced by a permanent year-round studio theater, which is all very exciting. But this will be very special.
Yeah. You know, I love theater. I go all the time. I have a blast. I see, you know, more than the average human. I enjoy it more than words can describe. However, when I see 80 minutes, no intermission, man, that is great.
Yeah.
I love it, too.
And that is just perfect.
And there are no pinter pauses. There are no pauses in this.
Get the me audience in, get me out, get me great theater, and I'm gone.
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll keep your attention, too. It'll
that
be
is great.
Awesome.
I like that a lot. It's just very, very convenient. For those of us getting up early, it's just very nice.
Right.
All right, so then we go to Peter and the Starcatcher, which opens July 16th. July 16th, a little bit before the other show's opening, and runs through the 25th, correct?
Yes.
So somewhat limited run. Not very...
It is indeed, just barely 2 weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So tell us about how you got involved in this, Matthew.
Well, first of all, it's not 80 minutes, no intermission.
That's right. This one's worth it. That's great.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm playing Black Stash, which I auditioned for another part, but happened to get lucky enough to play Black Stash, which is just the coolest, in my opinion, part in the play. He's the villain, but he's a really funny, egotistical fop of a villain. He's not really. He's basically the Captain Hook character of the story. And we're having a blast rehearsing it right now.
And what is the, of course, this is based on a Ridley Pearson, Dave Barry novel.
Right.
And series, which is ever delightful. Then it went to Broadway and did extremely well, as I mentioned, 5 Tonys. And what do you think there is about it that strikes a chord?
Well, I think it appeals to young and old audiences. I think that's like the main thing about it. It's extremely theatrical. It's an ensemble of actors who are all creating all of the visual aspects of the story by, you know, moving the set. It's like a real hands-on experience. Everyone has to participate in creating the theater of it. And it requires a lot of imagination on the audience's part. It's real storytelling. And the message is really beautiful and I think really, accessible. And it's also Peter Pan. I think that's just, you know, everyone loves Peter Pan. Everyone
right.
gets Peter Pan.
Absolutely. And I would assume that, in doing a show like this, that you open up your audience a little bit, right? I mean, it's...
We always hope that's true. I mean, we try to open them up in two ways. The regular audience, we try to have them be surprised by the new experiences they have when they come to the theater. And we gain an audience as we reach out and try different things that draw people in for the first time. So I hope a little bit of both will happen. And part of what's remarkable about...
That was a
about...
great answer.
Well, thank you. Almost as though we'd rehearsed, but of course there's no time for that.
That's a really, really good answer. I mean, I meant by, because it would, you know, you think, oh, I would love to bring the kids to this.
Right.
So they will enjoy this and it brings, you know, a new audience in and it broadens it. But you gave an excellent answer that's what you're trying to do with everything, even right. if it has salty language like your show does.
Right.
just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and this does appeal to all ages, I think. You know, the kids will have fun at one level and the adults will get some things that hopefully some of the kids will not.
There's music and there's music and song in it as well. So yeah, it's a play with music.
Outrageous cross-dressing mermaid dances.
That's right.
It's got a little bit of something for everybody.
What can be better than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Where can you find that within 2 hours drive? You know, it's becoming one of the most produced plays around the country now because it was such a hit in New York and it is so accessible in so many ways. And while I don't have any favorites at Weston because they're all my children and I love them all, this was my favorite off and on Broadway in the last decade. It's just a magical piece. And Michael Barres, who's directing them, is so gifted. Yes. And I've already been into rehearsals just so I can get out of the office and be inspired about what I really do. And I can tell you it's going to be a romp.
That's great. And it's like a dozen, right? A dozen of you that are playing, like 100...
So many characters, yes.
Characters, yeah.
And animals, and, I mean, you name it. We're just covering the bases. I mean, mermaids, where every single person in the cast is a mermaid at one point. And there's only one girl, female actress in the cast, and so all of the females, other than her, are played by men.
All her. A lot to do. And how is, just overall... Where do you? I know we've talked about this before, but I always find this fascinating. Of where you fit in sort of the Northeast picture of theater. I love that you've done things with the Flynn and Burlington. You've worked with theaters in the Berkshires. You kind of found your geographical place.
I think so, and you know, on our own, we're finding that our location is a huge advantage to us now because we're just far enough away from New York that when New York artists get up there to play with us, their cell service is spotty and they can actually just concentrate on the work. And that when...
Nobody else can offer them a job.
Exactly.
Go anywhere else.
And when people come up to work on new work, we're also, again, just far enough out of the city that they can take some chances and not be clobbered before they get everything figured out. So in our grand vision for the future, when we're going to have a year-round studio theater, 6 months of the year are going to be about incubation, and we'll be having all kinds of activity, and I'll be over here every other month telling you about what's going on. So that's exciting. But we're also in an area where we are all partners in the arts. Obviously, you're in competition for ticket sales when everybody's up in the summer and it's such a busy time. But the fact is that we all know each other and like each other, and we share artists. You know, we were talking with Matt about he's worked at so many theaters in the Berkshires where we know people. And so there is something about that collaborative spirit and the magic that happens in this part of the country in the summer that honestly buoys your spirits because you're not alone.
Yeah. So if you were going to do something and I assume this is vice versa. So if you're going to do, I don't know, On the Town, and they say, oh, well, look, they're doing that at Barrington, so then obviously we wouldn't do that, or vice versa. That
probably not in the same season, and we're usually in enough touch with our friends that we all know what we're thinking about.
Yeah.
But it also, part of what's developing now is the chance to say, why don't we both do that and do that together? One of the interesting things for us coming up next year is that our friends at the Dorset Theater, which is only just over the mountain from us, and at Northern Stage, which is about an hour from us over in White River Junction, Vermont, which is building a new theater, are going to collaborate, and we're going to do Alan Ayckbourn's comic trilogy, The Norman Conquest, and the same cast, the same director, the same design team, but each of the three plays will be done in one of each of the three theaters in succession. And so we're working together to create that project, and we're hoping to kind of cross-pollinate our audiences by coming up with attractive deals and even transportation and so forth, so that people who have been going to one or another of the theaters say, I want to see the rest of this play with these people, and go discover it at the other theater. So that kind of thing is really exciting.
I'm not just trying to heap praise on you today, but that, again, is a great idea.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I mean, and it almost is what you have to do to stay relevant and fiscally secure in this environment.
Absolutely. Partnerships are key. But again, the good news for all of us is that you feel supported by a partnership because you're all in the same thing together, and it's way more fun than sitting alone in your office counting the lack of money.
Right. So while he's in the office, biting his fingernails down to the nubs, do you think, Susan, does it affect you as an artist of sort of the climate and what's going on?
Knowing what's going on with Steve?
Well, not even Steve, but just, you know, the arts
Sue
in general.
Sue has actually been in the office, too, because she's our interim education director
I have actually some inside information on that.
She's seen the dark side.
Yeah, because back in April, they wrote me into helping with education. So I've been in the office and preparing to go into rehearsal. So I see a little of both. And it's super exciting, honestly. It's two different heads. I think I've got to move into a different mindset starting tomorrow and still do the education stuff. But there's so much that goes into it.
Right.
And I sound like this stupid actor, but I had no idea. And I'm so impressed with everyone and everything.
You don't sound like a stupid actor.
Okay, good.
I think it's fascinating because I just wonder... If you're looking out, and not that this happens to you guys, but if you look out and you see a house that's maybe, you know, half to three quarters full, do you think, oh boy, what do we do? You know, this isn't good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think I might have done one of those in Vermont. I won't say where. But yes, it does. It makes us think about it. And the older I get, and I ended up buying a house up here. I love Weston so much that I've actually sort of part-time relocated. And I really believe in how they are constantly trying to change and evolve with the climate, the economic climate, and getting people to come and fill the seats.
Yeah.
And if there is a challenge, seeing how now I see how hard everybody works to actually build awareness. We've got a huge new presence in marketing this summer, and I feel like the word is out more.
We have a new restaurant. We have cocktail piano bar before the shows. Of course, the cabarets. Which are so popular.
Yeah, and I was at Pump Boys yesterday, totally sold out, really big house for the cabaret. So we're in this really great kind of gloating, enjoying process, and I get to see how it's all put together, which is really interesting.
And do you like to just be blind to this, Matthew?
I think I am. I don't.
He hasn't had time to do anything but rehearse.
We'll rope
so
him
far.
In.
Working.
I just don't think about them. I'm just thinking about myself.
Right. Just sell the tickets. Come on, see the show, and show up and enjoy yourself.
But you know, again, over the years, part of what's a lot of fun for us who've been doing this a long time is to get somebody like Susan, who's kind of literally grown up with the company now over more years than we'll admit. And Matt's new to us, but, you know, played Spider-Man on Broadway and has a great career as a writer and producing his own work. So kind of building that family, both in the audience and in the artistic family, is a great joy.
Well, what was that like, the whole Spider-Man thing?
It was amazing. It was amazing and terrifying and definitely like a growing experience, I would say.
And you can still walk after it.
Yes,
so,
I can. Yeah. I know. I saw some terrible things, but it was pretty great.
Were you there from the beginning?
No, I came in after Julie Taymor left.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then what was kind of the mood of the room at that point?
Well, there was a real sense of survival, and I think that it brought the cast together. And it's one of the coolest cast experiences I've ever had. Everyone just bonded and really loved each other, and I felt so instantly welcome and excited to be a part of the company for that reason.
And you actually played Spider-Man?
I did. I started out playing Flash Thompson, and he understudied that track, understudied Peter Parker, and then I. When I left the show, I was asked to return to do Peter Parker because there was this thing where Reef Carney was leaving and then Matthew James Thomas had left to go to do Pippin, and they needed a Peter Parker. And so I was there. There are two Peter Parkers, and I was the alternate. So I did it two shows a week for 3 months.
Is there something exhilarating? I saw the show three times.
Oh, wow.
Because once it was just sort of a disaster, and I was like, well, it had to have gotten better. And it did. And it did. Yeah. It absolutely did. And then I thought, wow, this is great. And then I wanted to bring my nephew back. So I ended up seeing it three times. And I was sort of fascinated. But by the third time, I thought to myself, it must just be exhilarating doing that as you're just sort of soaring through the theater.
Yeah, I mean, that last flight over the audience, nothing will ever compare to that. I mean, I definitely, after doing that show, I thought to myself, that's probably the coolest thing I'll ever get to do.
Until you got to do
Black Until Stash. I got to do Black Stash at Weston Playhouse. Please come see it.
And only 10 days to catch it.
Yes.
And when you put
WestonPlayhouse.org.
Absolutely. Have you ever fallen through a theater?
Yeah. No. Am I too old to play Peter Pan?
No, no, I don't think so.
Good,
absolutely
thank you.
Not.
Good answer.
Well, good God, how old was Sandy Duncan and Kathy right. Rigby were
yeah,
doing it?
I think I'm exactly. still, there's still hope.
Yeah. yeah. Still
you have decades ahead of you.
split timing with her AARP commercials.
Exactly. I'm working on that. I shouldn't say more.
You can find out more about the incredible season that is taking place at the Weston Playhouse in Weston, Vermont by going to westonplayhouse.org, westonplayhouse.org. As we mentioned, the other place by Char White and starring Susan is July 23rd through August 9th. Peter and the Starcatcher is July 16th through the 25th. Right now is Pump Boys and Dinettes and all kinds of other great stuff going on, but you can find out all about that by going to westonplayhouse.org. Steve, Susan, Matthew, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks,
thank
Joe.
You, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.